Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for all the provision, the prayers, the support from this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. Many of you have been with us for many years. We thank you. We appreciate you. And so we're going to continue today in our series on spiritual warfare. This is going to be part three. And if you haven't caught up on these messages on spiritual warfare, you can check on the website, gatheredtheoutcast.com. We have radio archives there going back many years with messages on spiritual warfare and all other types of messages in the kingdom of God. So today we're going to be talking about the days of Noah, and we'll start there in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll take this up here in just a minute. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, going to look at Genesis 6, the days of Noah here today. But before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update on what's going on over here in Kenya. We're into the fall rains, the short rain season, they call it. And so we're thankful we got a good stand of maize, good stand of beans and other crops coming up pretty well. So we're very thankful for that. And we put a lot of effort into growing good food for the children. We have about 4 acres of crops planted, and we work it all by hand. And so we have fresh vegetables for the children. We have lots of maize. The staple of the diet here is ugali. They call it ugali, which is a maize mush or cornmeal mush. And so that's the staple of the diet. So we use lots of maize, lots of beans, and then green vegetables like spinach and kale, saga, traditional vegetables, saga and managu, and other types of traditional vegetables. So pray for the children. They're in their exams here for the next month, the final exams for the high schoolers in junior high or middle school. And then they'll be out for a month and then go back to school in January. And pray for the mission. We have a good church going, Living Water Church in Makunda. And we have about 90 adults there. Weekly attendance is about 60 adults, many children. And we also have a children's fun day that we have every other Saturday. We're feeding 125 to 150 children from the village, teaching them Bible stories, many of them Muslim children, teaching them Bible stories and feeding a good meal. Then they play games, football and volleyball. And so that's our children's fun day, which is a great outreach to the children of the village. So if you have a desire to support and help come alongside this ministry in Africa, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be getting into spiritual warfare. And the question today that we're starting with is, where did the demons come from? What is the source or the original place where the demons came from? The demons that torment you, torment me, torment all mankind. How did they end up on the earth? How did they end up tormenting us? Where did they come from? And how do we go from here to deal with them in our life? How do we deal with them, get them out of our lives so they stop harassing and stop tormenting us? And so that is the question we're going to deal with today. So if we go back to Genesis 6, this is one of the most controversial and interesting passages of Scripture in the whole Bible. And this is the story of the demons, story of the creation of the demons, I guess you could say, or the source of the demons, as it relates to the flood and the people who were on the earth at the time of Noah. And so again, this is one of the most controversial aspects to me, or the way I teach this today. So again, if you disagree and can't see the point of view that I have, it's okay. Don't write me, don't call me, just receive what I have for you today, and we can talk about it at a later day. You pray about it. You ask the Lord to reveal to you what His message is in regards to this and what the revelation is in regards to chapter 6 in Genesis. And so this is what we're going to look at today in regards to the creation or the origin of the demons. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And so this chapter 6, verse 2, is a description of life here on the earth before Noah built the ark and before the great flood came. And so what had happened on the earth was that there was a line of men called the sons of God. They were the sons of Seth, I believe, and they were the godly line from Adam. They were the godly heritage, the people who were carrying God's seed on the earth. And there were also a lot of wicked people on the earth that were from a different line. They were from the line of Cain, and they were the wicked people. They were basically a hybrid race of people. They were not hybridized with angels, as some people teach, because angels can't reproduce. They were hybridized with the sons of God, started to take these daughters of men of the wicked race, of the wicked seed, these sons of God started to take them as wives, and the creation that came from them were ungodly people. They were people who were hybridized in their DNA. They could not be saved because they were not pure of a godly race as God had created Adam and Eve. And so we have here a hybrid race, you might say mongrel. And in verse 3, then it starts up, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And so the Lord was starting to express his frustration and his desire to do away with this strain of hybrid men. And so that was what was going on. And so in verse 4, it says, "There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." And so we have these giants who were the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. And these giants, we know, were all over the land of Canaan. They were in the promised land when the children went in, even after the flood. So they were there before the flood, and then they popped up again after the flood. And of course, we know the story of David and Goliath. That was after the flood. But these races of people that were in the promised land were the offspring of the sons of God, the sons of Seth, and the daughters of men. And so the Lord knew that he had to keep the seed of the sons of God pure. And so he looked across the earth, and he found one family that he could use that was still pure, that was still blameless, and was able to keep the pure seed of the Son of God going. So then, verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In other words, the man, the hybrid race, they had no pure thoughts. They were totally polluted in their DNA. They were totally polluted in their bloodline, and their thought life was evil continually. Well, it kind of looks a bit like that here on the earth today. We have lots of people with evil thoughts. I just looked this morning on the internet, and somebody had stabbed somebody at random in New York City. no apparent reason, no motive. Apparently, they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Somebody stabbed them, killed this person in New York City. And so the thoughts of men today are evil continually, just as they were in the days of Noah. Well, God had a solution for that. It said the Lord was sorry, verse 6, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And so God has feelings, God has emotions, God has thoughts. We are made in the image of God, so we have emotions, we have feelings, we have thoughts, we have a soul, we have a mind, we have hands, feet. God has all of that. And God is also spirit. We are spirit, and we are made in the image of God. And so we look like him, and we were created to be like him. Those that God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in our spirit, we are created to love God, to worship God, to know God, to seek him, to be intimate with him. And so that is God's desires, that we communicate with him and we come to know him in a deep and intimate way, because we are made in his image. Well, God is sorry that he had made man at this point. Millions of people on the earth at this point, there are many generations down after Adam and Eve. And so there wasn't just a few, there were many millions of people on the earth, and the earth was proliferated, or the earth was populated by these hybrid race of people. And God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. And then in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God found one family, Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The DNA, the bloodline of the seed of Jesus Christ, or the seed of God that God was going to use to bring Jesus into the world, this bloodline was preserved through Noah and his family. And because Noah was blameless, God picked him out, picked out his family. And so there was eight people that went into the ark, eight people who preserved the bloodline of our Redeemer, preserved the bloodline of our Savior, so that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, that his perfect, precious blood was shed for you and shed for me on the cross. It was perfect, precious blood that had been preserved down through the many generations, even all the way to Adam and Eve. This bloodline had been preserved through the family of Noah and through his family, his wife, his children. And so that is how Jesus Christ came to the cross as the perfect lamb, the blemish-free lamb who died on the cross for you and me, shed his precious blood for you and me. His blood was spotless. His blood was still pure. And so because of that, we have a spotless, pure lamb who died for our sins. And so we were able to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Well, this story is a profound story because the DNA of the people before the flood had been totally contaminated. And so you see how important the DNA is. You see how important the DNA is in terms of preserving a pure bloodline of people who can be redeemed, of people who have a soul that can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so when you see attempts by mankind to alter or manipulate or in some way change the DNA, you have to be very suspicious, because it is taking us right back to the days of Noah. And that's what Jesus said. In the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it shall be just like as in the days of Noah. And so you look back to see what was happening in the days of Noah, and you look to see what's happening now, and you see scientists around the earth trying to clone human beings. You see scientists around the earth trying to manipulate DNA through many different avenues of scientific approach, some through vaccines, some through different things that are going on in medical breakthroughs, medical research. And so we're approaching that time on the earth when it looks just as it did in the days of Noah. And so that's why we have to be careful about what we do, the ethics of medical research, the ethics of medical breakthroughs. And it's very important that you pray before you enter into any kind of medical agreement, whether it's just simple things, even the DNA alteration of food that is being grown out there in the field, and the DNA alteration of additives to food. People will try to slip things into food that can change and manipulate the DNA. And so this is a big subject, but it requires prayer, it requires discernment. So when these people were drowned in the flood, when all of these contaminated, hybrid, mongrelized people were drowned in the flood, and there were millions of them, the spirits of those people then are still alive on the earth today. They are the demons that torment. They are the demons who harass. They're not chained in hell. That was the fallen angels who are chained in hell. These demons are the spirits of those who were drowned in the flood, and they are roaming the earth. They rule the earth. Jesus said, the devil is the ruler of the earth, but never mind, I have overcome the devil, or never mind, I have overcome his power on the earth. And so through Jesus Christ, we can overcome these demons. We can overcome these spirits that want to harass and torment us. And so through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have freedom to be able to defeat these demons in our life. So these demon spirits, they become familiar spirits in our families. They become familiar spirits in our territories, in our villages, in our towns, in our cities, and over whole regions, over whole nations, powers and principalities. They're just demon spirits that were left from the flood. They have to have a human, or they want to have a human host. They don't like hanging out on the street corner by themselves. They love a human host, and so they come and they try to gain entry into your life. They try to gain entry and harass you, torment you, make you feel miserable. They torment your thought life. They cause you to worry. They cause you to procrastinate. They cause you to be depressed and in despair and have thoughts of suicide. And so these demons then can take over your thought life, and eventually that becomes action, that eventually becomes a habit, that eventually becomes a stronghold. And so these demons then accomplish their purpose by taking over your life, taking over the life of your children, your family, your nation. And that is how they accomplish their purpose, which is to steal, kill, and destroy, and to derail and to destroy the kingdom of God on this earth, and to disrupt and distract and destroy everything God has planned for you, everything God has planned for this nation, the United States of America, this nation of Kenya, any place else. The devil is active. He is busy. He's always on the warpath. He doesn't take vacations or take time off. He doesn't take sick leave. He's always on the warpath, and he is a liar. He's a murderer. And he tries to steal, kill, and destroy your destiny, your calling, everything that the kingdom of God is important to you. He tries to take it from you and steal it from you. And that is his goal and his plan. Well, now we're going to talk about casting out a demon. Look at a couple of situations here in the New Testament. And so in Acts chapter 16, turn in your Bible there, Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says, now it happened, this is a story of Apostle Paul, says, now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. So she was crying out what sounded to be good words, what sounded to be a positive affirmation of what Paul and, in this case, Luke were doing. And so she says that these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And in verse 18, she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. He came out that very hour. And so it was an immediate deliverance. The words that she was speaking sounded good. They sounded right. They sounded righteous. But Paul was greatly annoyed because Paul had a spirit of discernment. He had a gift of discernment. He knew there was something wrong with this lady. He knew there was something that was not right with her, that the words were just a masquerade or a disguise, you might say, to disguise that she was really an agent of the devil and she was really mocking them. So sometimes when you listen to people, the words that they say may not be true words. The words that may be deceitful words, and they're actually mocking the kingdom of God. They may actually be an agent from the devil, a demon that is sent by the devil to torment. And in this case, it did torment Paul. It annoyed Paul because this girl was following them around in the city. And so the name of Jesus, Paul spoke over this lady. He said, come out, you evil spirit. He was speaking to the spirit behind this lady. He said, come out from her. And the spirit came out that very hour, because the power of Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in you than that little he that is in the world. That power of the name of Jesus Christ and the authority given to Paul to use that name, that authority then was exercised by Paul, and just by speaking that word, he didn't have to lay hands on her, he didn't anoint her with oil, he didn't call the worship team or send her to a conference. He just spoke the name of Jesus Christ over her, and that demon came out of her that very hour. And so that's a teaching for us. That's a lesson for us. If you have demons that are tormenting you, you can speak the name of Jesus over yourself. Speak the name over your children. Speak the name over your household, your family, and the demons will go because they do not like that name of Jesus Christ. That name bothers them. Speak the blood of Jesus over them. Put some worship music on. Fill up your house with worship music. And as you do that, then the demons will flee because they don't like to be around the name of Jesus, where the authority of Jesus is proclaimed against them, exercised against them. The demons don't like that environment. They don't like that place. And so they will leave and they will go find some other place where things are more conducive to their activity. And so you put worship music on, radio, on your TV, you listen and you watch good programs, healthy, wholesome programs. What you watch is very important. What your eyes see is very important. Get your computer cleaned up. Get your computer cleaned up of all the pornography and all the demonic stuff, the rap music, the demonic rap music, all that kind of stuff, the heavy metal stuff that does not glorify God. Get your life cleaned up. Speak the name of Jesus over your life. Speak the name of Jesus over your soul, over your spirit, over your flesh. Cast that devil out of your life in the name of Jesus, and you will start to see improvement in your life. You'll start to see joy come back into your life. You'll start to see your strongholds, your mental strongholds, despair and depression and disappointment. You'll start to see those things start to leave your life. And God will start to reveal to you your destiny, your calling, and he'll reveal to you also what it is he has for you in terms of what you can do, your unique purpose, that is your destiny, your unique purpose in your creation, why you were created, why you were placed on this earth. God has a unique purpose and a unique destiny for you, that he created you even before you were born. He spoke over you your destiny, Psalm 139, verse 16, even before your days were lived, even one of them. He knew the number of your days, and he spoke over you your destiny to bring glory to God with your life here on the earth. Well, the demons are real. You can't see them most of the time. God may open up your eyes at some point, your spiritual eyes, to see them. But trust me, beloved, they are real, and they are sent here to steal, kill, and destroy you. And they are sent, and they are serious in their business. So we have to be serious in our business. Call on the name of Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Seek his face. Seek his face in reading your Bible. Seek his face in prayer. Seek his face in fellowship. Be in the church. Get around some like-minded believers. And when you do that, then the demons will leave you. They don't like that environment. They will leave you. They will go somewhere else where there's more easy picking. And so they will leave you, and you will then be marching in victory. You will be marching in deliverance. You will be marching with the power of God to get the demons out of your life. Well, we're going to take up this message next week and look at a couple of more instances of deliverance. And so if you enjoy these messages, tune in next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. Pray you would support this ministry. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. We can keep these messages coming to you. We can keep the Africa mission coming and all the good things that we're doing here in Kenya and other countries here in Africa. We want to continue. We want to keep going strong, and we want to hear from you, and we would appreciate your support today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.